Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Linda Van Horn joins us, Chief of Nutrition. She is a professor of preventative medicine over at the Feinberg School at Northwestern. Now, she wasn't the author of this timepiece. Some journalists were, but we asked an expert to review it for us, and she said she would. Linda, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and thanks for asking. It's a very important discussion you're having. And
what's your editorial comment about our observations about breakfast?
Well, I think you're all on target in one way or another, and I thought I should first start, though, by saying that a big breakfast does not necessarily mean thousands of calories. It's said in the article, 20%. Or so of your total calories for the day should come from breakfast. So more than 5%, which would be maybe a glass of juice or something like that, which some people call breakfast, but more along the lines of what all three of you were actually mentioning. And each of them have their positive values. So good job.
Well, there has been an argument the last few years about should we load up on eggs and bacon, that the American Cancer Society has misrepresented the danger of that, or the American Heart Association, that's not so bad for us. So some of us have gone to toast and cereal, carbohydrate heavy, which I've been told is a terrible decision. We should eat bacon and eggs. What do you think about that?
Well, let's just start with bacon. There is absolutely no evidence anywhere suggesting that bacon is healthy for you. Bacon is loaded with saturated fat and nitrates and sodium, and it really is not a health food.
But it's so good.
I know.
And we understand that. So, you know, certainly if the rest of your lifestyle is healthy, a little bacon, if life is just not life without it for you, you certainly can accommodate. The confusion came, frankly, when the 2015 U.S. Dietary Guidelines said that, quote, dietary cholesterol is no longer a nutrient of concern, unquote. And dietary cholesterol is primarily found in the American diet in eggs. And the comment about no longer a nutrient of concern really, in nutrition speak, means that America's doing pretty darn well consuming the recommended amount or the limit. Under 300 milligrams per day.
So it's not that they changed their opinion, it's just that we're doing a good job not overeating them.
Exactly. So, you know, the idea of not consuming excessive amounts of eggs. Eggs are perfectly fine, nutritious, healthy source of protein, etc., but this does not give one license to just, you know, overeat on bacon and eggs. It's just not the healthiest choice as far as breakfast is concerned.
I want to run through these other seven items and get your observations about them. But just one last question about eat a big breakfast. I read that to mean, but also eat a smaller dinner. Should I make that trade if I was going to eat more somewhere, eat it in the morning, not in the evening?
Yeah, I think, you know, for someone who doesn't eat all day, which is a very common habit that many, many Americans follow, the tendency then is to overeat in the evening, and of course then you wake up not hungry because you've overeaten the night before. The other problem with missing breakfast is that typically is the way most people get dietary fiber and healthy whole grains and things of that sort that were being mentioned by, you know, a couple of you. And so by eliminating that meal, frequently, that means you're not eating enough dietary fiber and often missing out on fruit. So, you know, to try to switch that around a bit and eat more in the morning and a little less at night would definitely be beneficial overall.
That sounds like really good advice because you're right. At night, I don't have a whole wheat toast or double fiber toast, and I don't have peaches or strawberries. I am inclined to eat those in the morning. So thank you for mentioning that. Number two in Time Magazine, 8 weight loss strategies that actually work. Drink one less soda a week, and you might see a pound or two a year come off. What do you make of that?
Well, there are actually data in children, adolescents, in fact, to document that. Simply by eliminating one sugar-sweetened beverage a week, children where we have a serious problem with pediatric obesity were able to lose weight without changing anything else. Among adults, frankly, I see absolutely no reason why most adults should be consuming sugar-sweetened beverages. Most of us get far more calories than we need, and that's simply a source of calories with absolutely no nutritional benefit whatsoever.
When I decide to drink a sweet beverage, a carbonated beverage, a Coke versus a Pepsi or a Diet Coke, I don't know at the end of the day which is better for me. If I am going to have a can of soda, should I get the sugar sweetened soda or should I get the diet soda? Overall health impact.
That's a real difficult question to answer quickly. Because there's some evidence looking at something called the microbiome. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but we have all these little microbes in our gut that are useful in terms of helping or harming our overall nutrition. And there is some evidence that suggests that the non-caloric sweeteners are actually worse than consuming sugar. So both are not a good choice. Better to drink water or even unsweetened coffee or carbonated soda water with some fruit juice in it or fresh fruit in it. Those are better choices for certainly for an adult.
Number three in this piece from Time said, eat like an Italian. They talk about the Italian diet and the Mediterranean diet. If I was going to emulate somebody in the world, the Japanese come to mind. They live a real long time, too. Who should I eat like, would you say?
Well, certainly the data are very evident related to the Mediterranean diet lately. There's just been a lot of research done on that population. But as we all know, the Mediterranean encompasses a huge variety. Spain is one of those countries. Greece is another one of those countries, etc. So selective consumption of food from those regions certainly suggests there are many health benefits in terms of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, fish,
olive oil.
Right, red wine. The difference between, for example, the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet is the Italians would advocate red wine. The DASH diet advocates non-fat dairy, skim milk, and things like that. So it's, you know, most of us eat somewhere in between those two, and both are in the right direction.
If you have a choice to use olive oil or butter or something like that, you, I presume, should always go with olive oil if you can?
Absolutely.
And how does coconut oil play into that?
I'm so sorry to tell you, but coconut oil is 98% saturated fat.
Okay, so just throw that out.
Yeah. If you want to rub it on your body, fine, but don't put it in your mouth.
Wow, I heard that. How about peanut oil?
Peanut oil is also a monounsaturated fat like olive oil, but olive oil is a better of the two in terms of its total fatty acid content.
There were eight, I thought, just really intriguing, simple to manage suggestions, and there are three of them in Time magazine. Eat a bigger breakfast maybe than you are, eat a smaller dinner, drink one less soda per week. She said you be the judge about the sugar versus non-sugar. She's not liking you having either. Eat like a Mediterranean or an Italian, say. But there's a few others as well. And you may have a question or a comment as well. The number is 312-981-7200. We noticed an article in Time magazine had eight easy ways to lose weight. Are you thinking about that now that February is here? Linda Van Horn is the chief nutritionist and a professor of preventative medicine over at the Feinberg School at Northwestern University. At 2:25, a few more questions from our listeners and points from Time magazine for you to comment on, Linda. John, ask her about peanut butter and jelly. What do you make of PBJs?
Well, I think that peanut butter is an excellent source of plant-based protein. And if you put that on a whole grain piece of bread, you have a complete protein there. So the jelly I would go light on because that's pure sugar. But if you have a low-sugar version or just spreadable fruit, that combination is just fine and an inexpensive, easy way to get good source of protein.
Hey, John, I'm seeing a nutritionist now, and the nutritionist I'm seeing said breakfast like a king, lunch like a duke, dinner like a pauper, big, medium, small. Would you agree with that generally?
Yes. I think that has been the rule of thumb for many, many years, and if we could try to convince everyone to switch to that type of eating, I think we really would be better off.
Back to Time Magazine's 8 Ways to Lose Weight. Number 4, exercise to keep the weight off. They remind us that on Biggest Loser, it's dieting as well as exercise. You're going to lose the weight, they said, generally by dieting. Keeping it off, that's the work of exercise. Overall, maintainers did an average of 80 minutes of moderate exercise or 35 minutes of vigorous exercise each day, at least from that TV show. Well, most of us ain't going to do that. What do you say?
Well, I think exercise is an incredibly important component, and the most important thing is the habit, the behavior. Even if all you do is walk around the block, the main goal is to just keep busy, keep active each day for whatever time you have to commit to it. Once you get into that habit, it really is something that you look forward to, and it is for sure a great way of keeping weight off. If you don't put the calories in, your chances of keeping them off and not having the weight gain accompanying that certainly is goal number one. But to maintain that weight loss, physical activity can definitely benefit that process.
If you're going for that walk, even a brisk walk, though, maybe you're not getting your heart up to a certain rate. Does that concern you? And will I still be burning calories, losing weight, or maintaining if I go at a moderate pace?
The LSD, long, steady distance, is considered to be the best approach for most people who are middle-aged or overweight. It's a means of just maintaining that physical activity at a rate that is comfortable and allows you to keep going longer. High-intensity workouts are very popular right now, but for people who are not in tip-top shape, there's no question that extending that physical activity at a lower pace for a longer time is going to benefit that individual more than 5 minutes of high intensity with nothing else the rest of the day.
Time Magazine's 8 Reasons or Ways to Lose Weight in the New Year. Get a good night's sleep is number 5. Eat more slowly is number 6. And get rid of fake sugars is number 7. Any general observations about those points?
Yeah, all of them are very important, and for reasons you can imagine. If you sleep more, you tend to be less tired, and therefore you tend to crave less of those high sugar foods that people run for when they're tired and fatigued. So sleeping as opposed to eating a candy bar certainly makes a lot more sense. The fake sugar issue is one that we discussed earlier related to perhaps adverse impact on the microbiome. Those microbes that are healthy for us are confused when you consume a artificially sweetened beverage, and we still don't know exactly what the mechanisms are, but it's better to do without them. So those are, for sure good things. And then again, just trying to regulate the overall intake of food throughout the day, and eating more slowly will happen if you're not starving. So for the person who doesn't eat all day, sitting down to a meal, it takes at least 20 minutes for your brain to actually recognize that you've been eating food and have been digesting it. And I know many people can overeat in less than 20 minutes before they really realize that they're full. So slowing it down, drinking more water in between, and just eating more regularly so you're not starving, all add up to a healthier lifestyle.
You're terrific, Linda. I really appreciate your time this afternoon. I sure hope you can join us again another day.
Oh, my pleasure. I would look forward to it.
Linda Van Horn is a professor and chief nutritionist over at the Feinberg School at Northwestern.